Yeah, we can see it now. Yes.
Oh, hallelujah, amazing. Praise the Lord. Okay, hallelujah. Can we hear me? Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I'm so excited to be sharing with you tonight. Trust me, I mean, since I started meditating on this scripture, so on this teaching tonight, I mean, I think my heart has been so overwhelmed. I mean, to just come to understand again what God did for us by Christ's coming and his sacrifice. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. I can't even imagine. I'm just grateful to God for the privilege to share this with us tonight. And I'm trusting God that as many of us that participate in this meeting, and many who will see this after now, that just like the scripture says, the Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 2, I do not come with excellency of words or speech, but I simply trust in the wisdom and the power of God for tonight's teaching, that every one of us who would be participator in tonight's teaching would experience the power of God, so that your faith again will be strengthened, not because I said so, but because God has impressed his word in our hearts again, and revelation knowledge is flowing freely tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So our topic tonight is just staring before us, staring at us in the face now. Celebration of Christ's victory, worship and evangelism. Hallelujah. Celebration of Christ's victory, worship and evangelism. So it's a compound topic, but you see, the celebration of Christ's victory is going to be our anchor. Why? Because our worship and our evangelism is supposed to flow from our rich understanding of what Christ has done for us. Hallelujah. Let me take that again. Our worship and our evangelism is supposed to flow forth from our understanding of what Christ has accomplished for us by his vicarious death. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's delve into this. I mean, we have a scripture before, and that's Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. It will be important for us to read through. And I will try to do that very, very fast. Amen. But I don't know if there's anyone who can open that up quickly and be faster than myself. All right. Amen. Revelation 5. I am there now, so if no one is ready, let me just read it all. He said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open this book and to loose the seals thereof?" I'm sure we're familiar with this, but I'm trusting that light would come to us tonight. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Please let's see all this, all right? It says, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Hallelujah. He said, and one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Hallelujah. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders. Please, let's take that again. He said, and behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Let's back up a bit into the previous verse. He said, and one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." I thought it he mentioned a lion. And the next verse, John was saying what he saw. The elder told him, a lion, the lion actually of the tribe of Judah. Then he looked to see the lion, he saw a lamb. I will dwell on this later on. Amen. Let's see verse 7. He said, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, hallelujah. They sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Hallelujah. So
Amen.
we see, let's back up a bit and start that verse again, verse 9. He said, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and has made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, note it, after the loud voice declared, worthy is the Lamb, then every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts says, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, just reading this passage, and while I was preparing, like I said earlier, I mean, I've just been basking in this light and understanding and been given the privilege to be the one to talk about this today. Trust me, I want to say, Pastor Larry, thank you, sir, for counting me worthy to share this. Trust me, hallelujah. I don't take it for granted. Thank you so much, sir. And I want to thank our senior pastor, Wisdom is leave at the moment, Pastor Shegun, you know, for also being an amazing father to us all and also giving us this great privilege. Amen. Father, I'm praying that as your word comes forth, let it come with understanding. Let it bring light into our hearts. Let revelation knowledge flow freely in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let our hearts, oh God, be united again with passion, with the ferocity of your heart, with the love from you, with all you have accomplished for us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let it push us, let it cause us, let it launch us into new realms of worship and thanksgiving and praises to you in the name of Jesus, and also motivate us with compassion in our heart to reach out to the lost in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. In
Amen.
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm just saying that so that I can be sure of you following me. Amen. So we see in front of us as Christ's victory. Now, like I said earlier on, it is impossible for us. It is impossible. Possible for us to talk about this topic without really emphasizing on the victory of Christ. I said here, as we proceed, we must understand that the central theme or the very obvious scarlet thread all through the book of Revelation was victory. You see, as the Bible says, when Christ began to reveal these things to John from chapter 1 of Revelation, he's always talking about the victory. Either does this to the end, shall I give this? Either overcome, shall I give this? Does this mean that we don't have a victory? This gives us 2 points of victory. All right, let me just quickly establish that. Number one, Christ has already given us victory by all that he has accomplished on the cross. All right, so we call that positional victory. That is what we have already. But in our everyday life, we need to bring that victory into being in our experiences. And that's why we pray. That's why we reach out to God. All right. That's why. So the believer, I make bold to say that a believer is not supposed to be praying or fighting for victory. A believer fights from victory. The believer fights from victory until you understand the victory of Christ, until you have understood and you are established in the victory that Christ purchased by his blood and his triumph over the enemy, and the freedom and access he has given us unto the Father, until we have understood the victory of Christ. We cannot walk in victory on earth. Hallelujah. Like I normally say this, please permit me to take off my jacket. Like I normally say this, all every believer has been given power. Every believer has the right and authority, you know, that has been conferred upon us because we belong to Christ. Now, we see different kinds of, we see believers who are victorious, and we see believers who don't seem victorious. But we all have a positional victory. Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and power. We have positional victory already, but we need that vitality in our experience. We need it in our experience. So we see believers. So the difference between these two set of believers, the victorious one and the one that seem not to be victorious, is how their understanding is. How much understanding do they have in what Christ has done for them? And have they seen themselves in that victory? So for the believer, we fight from victory. We don't fight for victory. Hallelujah. Because that's what God has called us to do. He has called us into rest in Christ Jesus. So we fight from victory and not for victory. Hallelujah. Amen. He said the victory of God through Christ, which is the victory of the Christian by implication. Hallelujah. Let's and my slide is not going forward. Please permit me a bit. I think I'm having English. Okay, but once it's ready to move, I'll move. But then let's move forward. So, like I said, the core of this message is so that we can understand the victory of Christ. I believe strongly that once we are established in the victory of Christ, fully understanding what Christ accomplished for us by his death on the cross, you know, and not just by his death on the cross, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. And right now he's standing or he's seated as our high priest before the Father. Bible said he's always making intercession for us. All right. Until we understand this fully, we may not be able to appreciate why our worship, you know, what should be our worship and what should fill our worship, what words should fill our worship. Particularly for me, this for me has been the core of my ministry for years now. And if you have paid attention, anytime I worship and sing praise, I always bring us back to the understanding of what Christ has accomplished for us. This is very important. And that's while I was going through this study. I mean, it was just, I mean, I just at some point today, while I was just finding time to pray somewhere, and my eyes was bursting in tears in worship because I understood this again. Hallelujah. All right. So celebrating Christ's victory, worship. All right, let's move forward. Now I said something here. My slide is not moving. I'm really sorry about this. I just wish it can. But anyways, I have a mobile one on my phone. It says, so the central thought here is this: Jesus is truly worthy. What does this mean? What does it mean to be worthy? Because we heard the song that they sang in Revelation chapter 5. Why was he worthy? Why was he worthy? Because he died. He was buried and he rose again. And he purchased our victory by his life. Hallelujah. This is why he's worthy. And as a matter of fact, we saw the whole drama. There was no one found in heaven who could open the book. And you know, in while I was praying for this study, I read the manuscript that was sent to us. And the writer was saying something about the fact that, you know, that book, in that book, as it were, you know, it's not really about a book, you know. Don't forget that the book of Revelation is a vision. And so vision doesn't always typifies what is said, okay? So just like you will see, you would have in your dream and all that, it doesn't really mean that's the way it plays out. It's just a picture of what it is. Hallelujah. Amen. So what that means is this. Now, the unveiling of God's plan, the unveiling of the successions of all that God has planned out for one, because of the church. Now, the book of Revelation contains things that happened in the past, things that are happening at the moment, and things that will happen, all right? So it brings back knowledge of the past, and it brings us present knowledge, and it brings us foreknowledge of what is to happen at the end of the age, all right? So now, If that scroll, he was saying that if that scroll wasn't opened, there's a part of our experience with God that we will not have come into fully, and that's the truth. And that was why the work of Christ was a perfect work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another thing I also wrote down here is that we can only celebrate Christ's victory when we truly understand what he did. Then we can worship and go out there to announce the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is the central theme of this teaching tonight. My slide is not going. God help me. Okay. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. So now let's move forward. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do for us? And that's what I will base most part of this teaching tonight. What did Jesus do for us? Because this is the reason why we don't see believers coming for evangelism. This is the reason why people are not motivated to worship, to praise, even in their private life. So they have to be cajoled to do this, cajoled to do that, you know. Because when we truly understand what Jesus did for us, we will burst in praise, we will burst in worship. Hallelujah. When we truly understand what Jesus did for the world, we will be motivated to preach about it. Because until we preach about what Christ did on the cross, his death is as good as nothing if nobody comes to hear it and nobody believes it. Hallelujah. So let's move forward. Number one. So I'll be sharing 10 things in 10 things that Christ did for us. Number one, he paid our sin debt. Hallelujah. Colossians 2, 13, 14 says, having forgiven all our trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of ordinances that was written against us, he nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. He nailed it to the cross. In Colossians in verse 15, he says, thanks be unto God who has translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, by whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Our sin debt has been paid. 1 Peter 2:24, he said, who himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree. He bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Hallelujah. He died that victorious death. Isaiah 53 told us, if you read the story, the whole passage in Isaiah 53, paying emphasis to verse 5, verse 6, he said, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our freedom, the punishment for our peace, our shalom, shalom, was put upon him. The punishment for our freedom from poverty, the punishment for our freedom from the grip of the enemy, the punishment for our freedom, even in life's experiences, was put upon him. I normally tell believers this: everything about our life, even our everyday life, was paid for on the cross of Jesus. Was paid for on the cross of Jesus. Hallelujah. He paid our sin debt. Number two, he took our place in substitution. So just like the scripture told us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said, for he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. On that cross, God displayed a perfect substitutionary sacrifice. We became him, he became us. Hallelujah. On that cross, he became the sin. He was not just carrying the sin of the world, he became sin himself. And that was why he bore the wrath of God. If you read Isaiah 53, towards the later part of that scripture, Isaiah was saying, he said, we thought he was being punished for his own sin. We thought he was being punished for his own iniquities. He said, but it was our sins he bore. It was our iniquity that took him to the cross. Hallelujah. But the beautiful thing is that it pleased God to bruise him, that through his suffering, many sons will come into glory. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus did for us. He took our place in death that we might take his place in life. When he died that death, he gave us his life. Galatians 2:20 says, this life I live is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. He took our place. He gave himself for us. Hallelujah. He paid the debt and he told us to go freely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's so much to say. You can imagine, my heart is bursting. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:10 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Hallelujah. He has redeemed us from that curse. I'm running faster now. He said, he brought us peace with God. Woo! He brought us peace with God. Romans chapter 4, the last verse, I think, verse 25. He says, it was given, who was given for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have this. I forgot the way he said it too. Can I read this quickly? I don't have all the time. This is your own time. Please try and go back to the scriptures. All right. He says in Romans 5:1, say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul was telling us that the middle wall of partition has been removed out of the way. Now we have access to God. We have access to the Father. Now nobody needs to talk to God on your behalf. Nobody needs to go to God for you. You have access to the Father. The scripture told us in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 6, it said, come boldly that you may obtain grace and find, may obtain mercy, sorry, and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly. Come boldly. Come bold. Even as a believer, every now and then we make mistakes. We don't always get it all right perfectly as it should be. But you see, the scripture told us in 1 John chapter 2. He said, we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate with the Father. And right now he's standing as our eternal high priest in the presence of the Father, making intercession for us forever. Bible said, by the power of an endless life, by the power of an endless life, his priesthood is unchanging. And what that means is that so long Christ remains in the presence of the Father, nothing can turn you away. Nothing, no devil, no power of hell can say you cannot enter. No power, even when you have messed up. I didn't say go and mess up. Please, let's not miss it. Because this, when we start talking, like people think we're giving license for people to do wrong. No, we're only making you see the extent and the power of what Christ did. Because if by your mere fault here and there, you can get off his grip, then how powerful is that sacrifice? How eternal is that sacrifice? Today is not a day of thought. Let's move forward. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:40 says, he himself is our peace. Hallelujah. He's our peace. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. Now we have access to the Father every day, every night, even when you don't feel like it. You have access to the Father. The Father longs to hear your voice. Hallelujah. This is what Christ has done for us. Look at what Job said. Job 22, verse 1. He said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. See, you have now been acquainted with the Father. You have been reconciled to the Father by the blood of his cross. Now you have peace with the Father. Therefore, good shall come to you. These are my meditations daily. Good will come to me. Hallelujah. Let's move forward. He brought us into God's good book. Hallelujah. We have become God's own now. Amen. Amen. I can't say this enough. So that is righteousness, justification, divine approval. We have been approved. We have access to God. We have been brought into acceptance with the Father. I tell myself and everyone around me, see, the heavens over me are perpetually open because I'm in peace with the Father. I'm not in peace with the Father because I have not done wrong. I am not in peace with the Father because I've been perfect, trying to do everything right, dotting my I's and crossing my T's. No, 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 no. I'm in peace. I'm in sync. I'm in approval with the Father because of Christ Jesus. So I say this every time, even when I'm privileged to lead praise and worship. Everything we bring to God is only accepted by God because of Jesus. And everything God brings to us is only, it only comes to us because of Jesus. He is our medium and he has become our mediator. He was our mediator on the cross and he has brought us in. Now we are now God's own children now. Hallelujah. Luke 10:20 says, your names are written in heaven. Yes. Hallelujah. Revelation 21, 27 says, only those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life shall have access to all this. We have access now because our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I try to do this in bullet points so that we can really go back and look them up by yourself, study them by yourself. Amen. Amen. Number five, he brought us acceptance. Just a follow-up of the last one. Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, he has made us accepted in the beloved. That means if not for the beloved, we won't be accepted. In the times of old, they weren't accepted. Not because God didn't have them in mind, but everything was preparing for the arrival of the Messiah. He is the only one that would have brought us unto the Father. Only one, only one, only one. That was why we saw it in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. That was what it played out. He was the only one that had that power, the right to take the scroll, to open the seal, and to look therein. And Bible said when he opened the seal, when he broke the seal, opened it, Bible said all the beasts, the 24 elders, they begin to bow before him. Thou art worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. They bought for the worship. This is the reason why there's worship in heaven consistently. Not because heaven is just a place, just go and worship. No. It's because they see the manifestations of his glory. They see the manifestations of his power. You can't help but be in awe and worship. Hallelujah. Ah, may God give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans 15, 17 says, he said we should receive one another. Apostle Paul was admonishing believers. He said we should receive one another just as Christ also has received us. Hallelujah. So we have acceptance with the Father. Amen. Let's move forward. He brought us adoption. Hi. Adoption is a mighty thought that every believer should be rich in the understanding of it. What does it mean to be adopted? Adoption is not biological. A child that was born biological is different from a child that was adopted. Please, did you know that in the Aramaic law, in the Jewish tradition, where this picture was painted out for us, do you know that you could disown your biological child, but you cannot disown your adopted child? Do you know? Adoption means you saw him in his mess, you saw him the way he is, you saw his life the way he is, and you say you still choose this one. That's adoption. That's adoption. You could disown a biological child, but you can't disown an adopted child. So that we can understand what this means, when it says that he has sent for the spirit of his son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption, he has sent it into our heart, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. He said, you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:4 to 5 says that we might receive the adoption of sons. So all of this was done so that we might receive the adoption of sons. What Christ did is so that we might receive the adoption of sons. The Bible said it behooved him, Hebrews chapter 2, it behooved him to look like, to become like his brethren. It behooved him to be like us so that he might become the perfect, how did he put it? I think I'm missing the scripture up, but you will see it in Hebrews chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has brought us in. He has brought us in. He has brought us adoption. John 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. As many as received him, as many as received this word, this gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he has made them to become the sons and the daughters of God. Hallelujah. We have adoption. And because we are adopted children of God, God can never leave us stranded. Never, ever. Hallelujah. Number seven, the sins of the world are forgiven, but not yet received. You must understand what this means. The sins of the whole world has been forgiven because Christ died. He is the only payment for our sin. Hallelujah. For the sins of the world, the scripture says he didn't just die for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, the sins of the whole world has been paid for, but for those who have not received Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have not received that forgiveness of sin. They have not received it yet. So that's why we preach. That's why we announce it. But has he paid for it? Yes, he has paid. Did he pay completely? Yes, he paid completely. Hallelujah. Oh, salvation provided, but must be accepted. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. John 3:16 says, of course, in paraphrase, salvation was offered, but we must believe to receive. All right. Acts 10:43 says, whoever believes him receives the forgiveness of sin. So this is why we preach the gospel, okay? But we must first understand that forgiveness has been granted. But then men and women have to receive. It is only when they receive, it's now accounted or it's now imputed into their account. Hallelujah. Amen. All of this is seeing what Christ has done. He has made us God's children now, like I've been emphasizing now. John 1 John 3:1-1, it says, now with the children of God, there's no yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like if we shall see him the way he is. Hallelujah. John 1:12 says, of course, just like I said earlier on, as many as believed into him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit confirms that we are God's children. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God bears witness with our heart that we are God's children now. Hallelujah. What joy to be called God's children. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you know what it means to be called God's own child? I am praying that the revelation of this is revelation knowledge will burst forth in our heart. Will burst forth in our heart so that even when you fall inside issues or you fall into trouble, the first thought that will come to your mind is not, oh, I don't fall again. I'm not talking about sin here. I'm talking about life issues happen to you. Troubles come. Oh God, what again? This is actually, No. Even when life issues happen to you, the first thought that comes into your mind should be, Abba loves me. I am God's own child. He will deliver me no matter what happens. That's a rich understanding of Abba's love for us. But we see some believers when they get into trouble, get into issues, even what they didn't plan for. Another for you know, they are dejected, they are rejected, they are depressed, they are downcasted. They can't even lift their head. Even when some people make mistakes, for instance, let me tell you a testimony of a guy who went to play football some time ago and he broke his leg at the football pitch. Now, this leg for so many months, this leg refused to heal. The leg refused to heal. So one of my dear man of God, who has been a friend over the years, a senior brother actually, now he said he was ministering to the guy. And while he was praying for him, he just had a witness in his spirit. And then he asked the guy what really happened. The guy told him the whole story. Then he told him, he said, he just he feels that God will not heal him because of the things he has done. Right there, he knew the reason why the guy has been in that position for long. Because he feels that, because of of what he has done in the past, God will not heal him. Oh, can you imagine? And that's how much the devil deprived people of. And that's why once the enemy can impair your sight of God, once the enemy can give you a wrong picture of God, you cannot receive from the Father. And that's why you must fight for light and revelation of who God is, of his love for you as a believer. The love of God for us has been demonstrated on the cross of Jesus. It's not by whether good things happen or bad things happen, no. Because Christ did not promise us bed of roses on the face of the earth and our journey on earth, but he promised us victory. He said, in this world you have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In other words, I have stripped the world of his power to harm you. But definitely at some point in our life, we would have our share of ups and downs. But it doesn't mean that God is not good. It doesn't mean that God has changed. No. And sometimes he may allow us to go through that because if he does allow us to go through that, it's because he's bringing something glorious out of us. That's the understanding we should have. Abba loves us. Hallelujah. He is holding you now. He's holding you now. He's holding us now. Bible said, John 10, Jesus was talking. He said, no one can snatch you out of his hand. Ooh, Jude 1:24. Unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his glorious appearing with exceeding joy at his return. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:5, he said, he is the one keeping us by his word. Hallelujah. By the power of God. Hallelujah. This old thought really nourishes my soul every time I think of these things. All right, number 10, which is the last one. He said he's presenting us faultless before the Father as our high priest. follow through from what I said earlier on in Jude 1:24, which I said in the previous slide. Hebrews 7:25, he ever lives to make intercession for us. By the power of an endless life, he is ever living to make intercession for us. The writer of Hebrew was making an analogy between the high priest of the Old Testament and Christ being our high priest. Then, because they don't have an endless life, because they die, so their priesthood changes. And so what they offer cannot be sustained forever. But now, because Christ has an endless life, he is able to sustain forever what he did for us. So he is the one who offered. He is the one who is the offerer. He is the one who is the offering. And he is the one who is the acceptor of the offering. Oh my God. Higher. 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 Ah. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:22 says, to present us holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight in love. Hallelujah. This is why Christ is standing as our eternal high priest today. We can see what he did at his coming, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into glory. And right now he's standing as our eternal high priest. Meaning, I think I need to read a scripture to us. If you have your Bible with me, I should be running off very soon. If you have your Bible with me, with you, please, can you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, let's read from verse 10. He said, for it became him whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto you. He said, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children whom God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself partook likewise of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, which is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, verily, this is my emphasis down. For verily, verily, he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, the nature of the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in pertaining to the, sorry, in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them who are being tempted. In other words, he's able to help those who are being tempted. We have somebody at the right hand of the Father, the man Christ Jesus, our mediator, our standby. He is the one holding our hands now. May God cause this knowledge to really flourish in our hearts, to bring us into
Amen.
deeper understanding in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So as I begin to wrap this, bring this to a close, this is why we worship. Everything I've said is why we worship. We can see a picture from Revelation chapter 5. Why did they begin to worship? Why are they worshiping? Why did they all of a sudden start to worship? All of them at the same time. Nobody coercing anybody. Nobody saying, okay, guys, it's time to worship now. Like what? You know, see, we must understand also that because of Christ's sacrifice and his victory, the pattern of praise and worship in the Old Testament is no longer the pattern in the New Testament. Of course, we can borrow, leave, or follow through on what they on what pattern they have. But you see, now we have been helped by the Spirit. We have the help of the Spirit, so we can't do anything mechanical. Mechanical? No. We don't cajole people to praise, cajole people to worship. Your worship, your praise must flow first from an understanding of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. What Christ has done for us. Amen. Our worship becomes our natural response. It becomes our reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, it becomes our reasonable service. It flows from us freely. Bible said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, where the circumcision that worship God and the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We do not boast in the flesh. We have no confidence in our own help. Hallelujah. This is why we worship. There are different types, of course, there are different types of praise in the Old Testament, Shabbat, Tehillah, as beautiful as they are. But in the New Testament, none of those was talked about. But he talked about we offering the fruit of our lips. He talked about Colossians 3, verse 16. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let the word of Christ, let the knowledge of Christ, let the knowledge of what Christ has accomplished for you richly dwell in you in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then the next thing that flows from for you is a communication to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melodies in your heart unto God. It flows by the help of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is now resident inside of us. He's the one that brings us into the rich knowledge of what Christ has done for us. And this, he helps us to burst forth into worship, into praise. Hallelujah. Is it good for us to thank God for house? Yes. Is it good for us to thank God for cars? Yes. Is it good for us to thank God for good health? Yes. But first of all, let's thank him for the gift of salvation. For the death he died in our place. Bible said we have passed from death unto life because of what he did. Hallelujah. This is why we worship. And as we look forward to our anniversary coming this weekend from Friday, this is why we should give thanks. Before you start thanking God for cars and money and how he came through for you, breakthrough and all that, first of all, thank him for his greatest intervention, the salvation of your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And finally, this is why we preach. This is why we announce the gospel. Have you ever seen people who are not motivated to preach the gospel? It's because they don't understand what was done. They don't understand the death he died. They don't understand because the motivation to preach the gospel is the gospel itself. The motivation to preach the gospel is the gospel itself. You must really understand this gospel. Because Apostle Paul came into this knowledge and he told himself, woe be me if I preach not this gospel. This is how we partner with Christ in what he died, in what he did. Our preaching of this gospel is how we partner with him. Because if this gospel is not preached, his death is as good as nothing. This is where God brings us into partnership with him. That we might help him let the world know what he has done. The angels can't preach to them. The best the angel will do is to show Cornelius, Cornelius, go and call Peter, for he will tell you the words of life. The angels appeared to Peter in the prison. He opened the gate to him. He came out. He said, go and stand in the temple and tell them the words of this life. It has been designed by God that through the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, shall men be saved. Shall men be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans 12, 1, like I said, these are our reasonable service. Having this rich understanding would help us to go out. You can't see somebody stand beside you or seated beside you and not want to preach the gospel to them. Even if we stay in an environment, in a community, or this system in the United Kingdom that doesn't give you the privilege to even, I mean, to talk freely, you know. But then one way or the other, God will always avail us the opportunity to share this light while living in a dying world. Bible said, if we don't preach, the world will not be saved. Hallelujah. In preaching, lastly, in preaching, we partake in the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That fellowship of his suffering is in the privilege given to bear this gospel. To bear this gospel. Angels don't have the privilege to bear this gospel. We have the privilege to bear this gospel. Knowing full well that this gospel is the only way that God saves. This gospel is the only way that God heals. This gospel is the only way that God transforms cities. Have you seen through study? We understand that this Western world, what we came into, that has now turned to not something else now, was the industrialization of the Western world, beginning from of the United Kingdom, of course, America, China, and the rest of them. It all came by the understanding of the gospel. If we don't preach this gospel, men will not be saved. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, first to the Jews, then to the Greeks. For therein is the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is my desire today that we would come into understanding of this. And just like the angels, the 24 elders, the beasts, as they came into understanding of what Christ did, and that he was the only one able to open the scroll and to look thereon. Why was he worthy? It was because he died. He gave himself. Bible said, by his blood, he has purchased us from every kingdom, every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue. And he has brought us and made us a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of priests that we might offer unto God acceptable worship. Ah, it's my prayer that we would understand this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ah,
Amen.
this is it, sir. This is it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I think it's time for our question and answers now. If you have any questions and if you have contributions, you can share. Praise the Lord. Glory to
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do we have any contributions in the house? Any
Oh,
questions in the house?
praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, my name is Oludayo Philip.
Pastor, we know you, sir.
Sincerely, I just want to say that for all of us that are participating this evening, I believe we have not done well enough, because these sections like this should not be only for us. We should get people to be involved, to know this, to be available for meetings like this. And then as Pitons were actually ministering, the sincere, I just like, the church needs to be available for this meeting. The church needs to hear things like this, not we
Right.
having just 13 people. We are
No,
more
no,
than that.
no.
So these are powerful words. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for
Thank you,
the
sir.
words.
Thank you, sir. Thank you,
And then
sir.
the Lord will strengthen you more, sir.
Amen, amen,
Sincerely,
amen.
I be the, my just the, my disappointment is the fact that maybe Romans chapter 10, I was actually describing that if nobody is able to, how will they hear
Yes,
if there is no
there's
preacher?
no
So
preacher.
we just need.